Welcome to the Deep Dive. We've got some really interesting source material today, a report looking at, well, some pretty unusual market activity, specifically for June 9th, 2025. Think of us as your guides. We'll navigate this data together, try to pull out the key insights for you.
Hopefully find those aha moments.
Exactly. So today we're putting on our market detective hats, looking at this list of the top 10 stocks showing unusual activity on that Monday. The report flags them based on unusual trading activity.
That's the term they use, yeah. And really, in this context, unusual activity mostly boils down to volume. It means these stocks, well, they saw a huge jump in the number of shares changing hands on June 9th, way higher than their normal daily average.
Right.
Think of it like the stock market highway. Most stocks are just cruising, but these 10, suddenly it's gridlock, bumper-to-bumper traffic. Something definitely made them stand out.
Made them hotspots, yeah. And our mission for this deep dive is basically to unpack each one on the list. We'll look at the numbers, the price moves, the frankly staggering volume in some cases, and try to understand the context.
Yeah. Who are these companies? What might have been going on?
Exactly. Why did their activity stand out so much on that one particular day? What was the buzz?
Because unusual volume, it's generally not just noise, right? Mm-hmm. It's a signal. It suggests something is driving intense interest. Maybe big news just dropped, or maybe a major corporate event is expected. Sometimes it's just pure speculation running wild.
So this report is like a magnifying glass, isn't it? Pointing right where the market's focus suddenly snapped to on June 9th. And it gives us clues, potential reasons, all drawn from, you know, publicly available info.
Exactly. It's about connecting the dots between the activity and the potential why.
And seriously, looking through this list beforehand, some of these numbers, they just leap off the page. We're talking volume spikes that are almost hard to wrap your head around, and price changes. Dramatic is an understatement.
Uh-huh. This is where the market action gets really compelling, but also, you know, where the volatility really shows itself.
It flags these spots where maybe opportunity or maybe significant risk just appeared very quickly on that day.
Definitely.
So let's unpack it. We'll go company by company, see what stories this June 9th data tells us.
Okay, but maybe before we jump into the first stock, let's just reinforce what this report is actually flagging.
Yeah.
It's highlighting stocks where the trading volume on that specific day, June 9th, was just way, way above their normal baseline.
Right. The volume surge is the key.
That elevated volume, that's the primary signal here for unusual activity.
And the big question for us, the one we keep coming back to, is why? Why does that high volume matter so much?
Well, high volume is critical because it signifies strong conviction, strong participation. A lot of buyers, a lot of sellers, all active in that one stock. When that participation spikes unexpectedly, it usually means something specific is making people act. Now, that something could be a known catalyst,
right?
Like an FDA decision for a biotech, maybe an earnings beat, a big contract win for a tech company. Could be anticipation, two traders jumping in because they think news is imminent.
Or just pure hype.
Or intense speculative interest, yeah. Maybe driven by chatter online, maybe sector momentum, maybe just the price action itself.
So the volume is the undeniable action, the tangible thing we see.
Mm-hmm.
And the report tries to link that action to potential reasons using the public context. It's not saying, you know, A caused B definitively.
No, it's more like, look at this unusual volume. And by the way, here are the kinds of things happening around this company that might be related.
Got it.
And that context is so important. For each stock, the report gives us more than just the price and volume. It gives us the sector, the typical catalysts you'd expect for that kind of company. And crucially, it often tells us how much public data is even out there for this stock.
Ah, right. That helps figure out the kind of unusual activity, doesn't it? Like, is this happening in a big, well-known company with tons of financial reporting? Or is it some obscure microcap where information is really scarce?
Precisely. It frames the whole picture.
Okay, that sets the stage perfectly. Let's dive in. We're starting with the stock that had the absolute highest trading volume on June 9th, 2025, compared to its average. And yeah, brace yourself for some pretty eye-popping numbers here.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, kicking off our deep dive, number one on the list by unusual volume, KLTO. That's K Lotho Neurosciences Corp.
And yeah, when you look at the numbers for KLTO, staggering really is the only word that fits.
It's absolutely wild. The report shows the previous day's close was just 0.205 a share, 20 cents basically.
Right.
By the time this report snapshot was taken on June 9th, the price was $1.60. That's a jump of nearly $1.40 per share.
Which, if you do the math, works out to a percentage gain of, get this, over 680%.
680%.
In one day. I mean, that price move alone is insane. It would grab anyone's attention. Just a massive, massive surge.
That's where the market gets just fascinating, isn't it? But the volume, okay, this is why it's number one on this specific list. The reported volume for KLTO on June 9th was 1,014,841,984 shares.
Over a billion shares.
Over a billion shares traded in one day for this one stock.
Now, let's put that in context. The report points out, for a microcap biotech like KLTO, your typical average daily volume is probably under a million shares, often. Like, way under.
Right.
So this isn't just higher volume. It's astronomical. It's like comparing a garden hose to a fire hydrant. Orders of magnitude difference.
So what is Clotho Biosciences? The report says it's a biotech company, right? Focusing on therapies that target the Clotho protein.
Yeah, and that protein is linked to aging and age-related diseases.
So very cutting-edge stuff. Longevity research.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It puts them in a field with enormous potential impact, but also, let's be clear, incredibly high risk. Biotech success, especially for a company maybe focused on just one target or an early pipeline, It's often a binary outcome. Either it works or it doesn't.
And the report's assessment seems to reflect that risk-reward profile. It gives it a medium probability of going higher and suggests holding it long-term, like a year plus if you're betting on a breakthrough, but only short-term for speculative catalyst plays.
That makes total sense, doesn't it? The real long-term value hinges entirely on successful clinical trials, proving the therapy works, proving it's safe, then getting the green light from regulators like the FDA.
All right.
Until then, any price action is really driven by speculation around those potential milestones, or as the report puts it, those catalyst plays.
What kind of specific catalyst does the report mention? What could trigger this kind of explosion?
It lists the usual suspects for biotech, really. Results from clinical trials phase 1, 2, or 3, announcements from the FDA maybe about fast-track status or orphan drug designation, or just progress on an application.
Funding news, too, I guess. R&D isn't cheap.
Funding news is critical, exactly. And even new scientific papers, maybe about the Clotho protein itself or related research, that could boost sentiment.
Okay, so given that billion-plus share volume spike and the 680% price surge, it feels almost certain that one of those things, or at least a very strong rumor or anticipation of one, hit the market on June 9th.
Oh, absolutely. The report doesn't pinpoint the specific trigger, but the sheer scale of the activity points directly at that list of possibilities. You just don't see moves like this without a powerful driver, whether it's real news or just perceived potential.
And the social buzz, the report says it was limited.
Yeah, limited. Just sort of general chatter about biotech and aging research. Nothing specific or widespread, at least not easily tracked on, say, English language platforms like Twitter or Reddit.
Which can happen with these smaller caps, right? The buzz might be in more niche forums.
Exactly. Could be happening in very specific, dedicated investor communities that aren't on the mainstream radar.
Now, here's a really crucial point the report emphasizes for KLTO.
Mm-hmm.
The massive lack of easily available data. Pretty much everything is NA or not widely disclosed.
Right.
We don't have a reliable previous close or current price for major exchanges because it's OTC. No shares outstanding, no float, no short float, no off-exchange volume. Headquarters, year founded, employee count, nope.
No analyst coverage, no price targets.
No historical or future earnings per share, no sales data. It's almost a complete blank slate in terms of standard metrics.
And that lack of data, it's not just a footnote, it's incredibly important context. The report notes this is pretty typical for microcap companies, especially the ones trading on the OTC markets like Pink Sheets or OTCQB.
Yeah.
It means less transparency, less information for investors to really dig into.
And crucially, it often means a very small number of shares are actually available for the public to trade easily.
Float.
Right. Exactly. The float. And that's where things get potentially explosive for stocks like this.
Why does a small float matter so much when you suddenly get massive volume?
It's fascinating. Think about it.
Yeah.
If there are only, say, a few million shares readily available to trade, that's a small float. And suddenly, because of catalyst excitement, you have demand equivalent to hundreds of millions, or in this case, over a billion shares.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it creates a massive supply and demand imbalance.
A supply shock.
Precisely. Buyers are desperately chasing a very limited number of shares available. That intense pressure can just send the price vertical, totally parabolic. It magnifies the effect of the volume spike into the kind of explosive price move we saw here.
Okay, so let's sum up KLTO on June 9th. We've got an absolutely mind-blowing 680% price gain, fueled by over a billion shares trading hands, all from microcap biotech focused on a very specific high-risk, high-reward therapy related to aging.
It's really the textbook example, maybe an extreme one, of a speculative, catalyst-driven play in the wild west of microcap biotech. The massive volume hitting a stock with probably very little public information and a likely tiny float just created this incredible surge. It's super high stakes, driven by that dream of a breakthrough, but amplified hugely by the market structure it trades in and that lack of detailed data.
What a start to the list. Truly remarkable.
Okay, let's move down to number two. We have CTXR, which is Citius Pharmaceuticals EDC. Still in the biotech space, but the data here already looks quite different.
Right, let's look at the numbers first for CTXR. The report lists the previous close at 0.851 cents and the current price at 1.38 cents. So a price increase of about, what, 53 cents a share?
Yeah, just over 50 cents, which works out to a gain of over 62%. Now, that's a very significant single-day move by any normal measure, but obviously nowhere near the almost 700% we just saw with KLTO.
Definitely a strong gain, still very notable. And the volume. 98,042,543 shares traded. The report estimates their typical average daily volume is somewhere between 2 million and 5 million shares. Okay, so still way, way above average. Clearly unusual volume by that measure, but we're talking maybe 20 to 50 times average, not, you know, 1,000 times average like KLTO.
Exactly. Elevated volume, strong price gain, but definitely on a different scale than the number one mover.
So what about Citius Pharmaceuticals itself? The report describes them as a biopharmaceutical company focusing on critical care products, includes areas like oncology, anti-infectives, stem cell therapy.
So that suggests maybe a broader pipeline, right? Mm-hmm. Compared to KLTO's seemingly singular focus on the Clotho protein, the report gives CTXR a medium probability of going higher and suggests a medium to long-term hold.
And again, the reasoning ties back to the core biotech story. It all depends on clinical success, getting through those regulatory hurdles, and eventually, hopefully, commercializing products. Still high-risk, high-reward territory, just part of the deal in biopharma.
Absolutely. The catalysts listed are those familiar triggers. FDA approvals, results from clinical trials, and interestingly, the report mentions phases 2 and 3, specifically for CTXR, which might suggest their candidates are generally at later stages than, say, KLTOs, or maybe that mysterious CTR we'll get to later.
Good point. Also lists partnership announcements, updates on commercial launches. The volume spike on June 9th points strongly towards activity around one of these types of events.
Makes sense. And the social media chatter mentioned for CTXR is also a bit more specific than what was noted for KLTO. It says people are discussing specific pipeline drugs, actual data readouts, potential market sizes on, you know, biotech forums and X, formerly Twitter.
Now, here's a really big difference from KLTO, and it provides crucial context, the data availability. CTXR is listed on the NASDAQ.
Right, a major exchange, which means much stricter reporting requirements.
And you see it in the data the report provides. We have headquarters, Cranford, New Jersey, year founded 2007, employee count roughly 2050, the exchange is NASDAQ. We get shares outstanding around 130, 150 million. Shares float around 120, 140 million. Short float, 5, 10%. And even analyst coverage.
Yeah, analyst coverage with a target price range given between $3 and $5.
That's like night and day compared to KLTO. It's like going from staring at a brick wall to looking through a window, at least. We even have some financial data here.
What does it show?
Well, it shows negative earnings per share, EPS, for the current period, $1.45, and historically negative too, which you'd expect for a clinical stage company burning cash on R&D.
But positive quarter-over-quarter EPS change.
Right, and the sales data shows positive growth over the past 5 years and year-over-year, but negative quarter-over-quarter.
Okay, so that financial picture is pretty typical for a biotech at this stage, right? They're spending heavily on R&D, maybe they have some early or inconsistent revenue streams coming in, or maybe fluctuations related to trial timing or partnerships hitting the books. The main focus for investors isn't current profit, it's the perceived value of that drug pipeline.
So summing up CTXR then, a solid 62% price gain, a very significant volume spike compared to its average, likely driven by those standard catalysts for a biopharma company that's listed on a major exchange like NASDAQ.
Yeah, it presents a different profile than the microcap KLTO we started with. A bit more established, definitely more transparent with public data available. There's analyst coverage giving some external valuation perspective, and the pipeline candidates seem to be in somewhat later stages. But the fundamental driver of that intense trading activity, still the same. Anticipation or reaction to those key clinical or regulatory milestones.
It's fascinating how the context really changes the feel of the unusual activity, even when it's in the same broad sector. Okay, let's move to number three, SNPX, which is Synaptogenics Inc.
Still in the biotech realm. Okay, the numbers. Previous close listed at $2.41, current price at $3.55. That's a difference of $1.14 per share.
Which is a gain of over 47%. Another really strong single-day performance.
Definitely. And the volume, 43,539,642 shares. The report estimates their average daily volume is usually between 500,000 and 1 million shares.
So again, a huge spike compared to normal. Clearly unusual volume, maybe 40 to 80 times average. Significant, though, less absolute volume than CTXR.
Right. Now, Synaptogenics, the report describes it as a clinical stage biopharma focused on neurodegenerative diseases, specifically mentioning Alzheimer's.
Okay, so that's a huge area of unmet medical need, obviously, but also notoriously difficult for drug development. A lot of high-profile failures in Alzheimer's research over the years.
Exactly. And that difficulty seems reflected in the report's assessment here. It gives SNPX a low to medium probability of going higher. It suggests a long-term hold if you're really betting on a breakthrough, but advises only short-term for those pure catalyst plays.
High risk, high reward is the theme again, but maybe the risk feels even higher given the specific challenges of Alzheimer's research.
That's likely the thinking, yeah. Success really hinges on overcoming immense scientific hurdles to develop something effective for these incredibly complex diseases. It demands a very high tolerance for risk and probably a very long investment horizon if you're betting on the ultimate success.
What catalysts does the report list for SNPX? Similar to the others?
Pretty similar, yes. Mm-hmm. Clinical trial results, communications with the FDA, developments related to their intellectual property, always crucial in drug development, and of course, funding news. The volume spike on June 9th suggests something was brewing around one of those areas. Social media buzz exists, noted on biotech forums and X, focused specifically on their trial progress and maybe how they stack up against competitors in the Alzheimer's space.
Okay, let's look at the available data points. Headquarters, New York City, founded in 2007, apparently as a spinoff. The report lists the employee count as very small, maybe only 10 to 20 people. It is listed on NASDAQ, though. Shares outstanding are around 15, 20 million, and the float is around 10, 15 million. That's smaller than CTXR. Short float is estimated at 5, 8%. But interestingly, the report notes a lack of widespread analyst coverage and no target price listed, despite being on NASDAQ.
That is interesting. Usually a NASDAQ listing comes with at least some analyst attention, especially in biotech. The small employee count and lack of coverage might suggest it's really on the smaller end of NASDAQ companies, maybe highly specialized. Or perhaps its lead candidate is still perceived as very early or risky, leading to less analyst enthusiasm compared to, say, CTXR.
Makes sense. And the financials. Negative EPS reported for the current period and projected for next year to 7 cents, historically negative too, but positive quarter over quarter change noted. And sales growth is listed as 0% historically.
Okay, so that confirms the picture. A highly focused, R&D-intensive, clinical stage biotech. Zero sales growth over 5 years clearly means they're pre-revenue, burning cash solely to develop their pipeline. That's completely standard at this stage, spending money now, hoping to make money way down the road if the science pans out.
Right. So SNPX summary, a substantial percentage gain, significant volume increase, likely tied to some development or speculation in that very high stakes, high risk Alzheimer's research field.
Yeah, it fits that pattern of catalyst driven biotech activity we've seen, but maybe adds another layer of complexity and perceived risk due to this specific disease focus.
Yeah.
And perhaps its smaller operational scale contributes to less analyst visibility compared to some other NASDAQ biotechs. But still, that unusual volume on June 9th clearly shows it was capturing significant trader attention that day.
Okay, definite shifting gears now. Number four on the list is SOGP, Sound Group Inc. Finally, not a biotech.
Yes. A break from the pharma world.
All right.
Okay, SOGP, price previous close, 1.326 cents, current price, $1.75. That's a difference of about 42 cents.
Works out to a gain of almost 32%. Another solid jump.
Decent move. Volume.
Yeah.
26,317,514 shares. Their approximate average daily volume is estimated at 1 to 2 million. So again, significantly higher volume, clearly putting it on this list, but we're still talking a different order of magnitude compared to those top biotechs like KLTO. Maybe 15, 25 times average.
So Sound Group Inc., what do they do? The report says they operate in the audio entertainment sector, providing interactive audio-based social services, and it specifies their primary market is likely in Asia.
Okay, so a completely different industry dynamic here. Social audio, maybe streaming, focused on an Asian market.
The report gives it a medium probability of going higher and suggests a short to medium term hold. Now, the reasoning for this assessment is fascinatingly different from the biotech rationale. It says, and I'm quoting loosely here, depends on user growth, monetization strategies, competition, and highly sensitive to regulatory changes in its operating regions.
That last point is absolutely critical, especially for companies primarily operating in certain regions, particularly Asia. Government regulations around online content, data privacy, market competition, these can change rapidly and have a massive impact on a company's business model, their growth prospects, everything.
Right. So that's a type of catalyst or maybe risk factor that's very different from waiting for an FDA decision.
Completely different. Mm-hmm. And the catalysts listed reflect this unique context. User growth reports, are they adding users? New feature launches, keeping people engaged, strategic partnerships, and yeah, those potentially massive regulatory developments. Any news or even rumors on those fronts could easily trigger intense trading.
The social media buzz mentioned is limited on English platforms, which makes sense, right? If their user base and main discussions are happening on platforms popular within their specific market in Asia, we wouldn't necessarily see it easily here.
Stands to reason. Yeah. Okay, what about the available data?
Headquarters listed as Beijing, China, but incorporated in the Cayman Islands, that's pretty common. Founded 2017, employees around 200, 300, it's listed on NASDAQ, shares outstanding around 60, 70 million, float around 50, 60 million.
Okay.
But there's a noted lack of widespread analyst coverage. And the report also states that short float data, off exchange volume, that sort of thing, isn't readily available for this specific foreign microcap, even though it's on NASDAQ.
Right, that foreign microcap designation, even on a major exchange, often explains some data gaps. Different reporting standards or market structures in their home country can make certain data points less accessible in standard U.S. databases.
Makes sense. Financials are interesting here. Positive EPS this year and projected positive next year, too. That's a big change from the biotechs we've seen.
Finally, some profit.
But it shows negative year-over-year EPS change and a really significant negative quarter-over-quarter EPS change, like a negative 80%. Sales growth, though, is positive over the last 5 years and year-over-year. Also positive quarter-over-quarter, 100%.
Right. Okay, so that mixed financial picture is very common for growth-stage tech companies, isn't it? They might be showing some profit, but they're probably investing heavily, maybe facing tougher competition, navigating shifting market conditions, all that can hit margins and make profitability fluctuate quarter to quarter. The positive sales growth is key, though, suggests the core business is still expanding, even if the path to consistent growing profits is maybe a bit bumpy.
So, SOGP summary. Unusual volume spike, decent price gain happening in the audio tech entertainment space. Likely an Asia-focused company.
Yeah, and its activity seems driven by factors totally different from biotech, things like user acquisition, how they make money, who their competitors are, and critically, that regulatory environment overhang. The volume on June 9th suggests the market was paying close attention to one of those dynamics specifically. It's a great example showing these unusual activity patterns pop up everywhere, even if the underlying reasons are sector-specific.
Okay, back to the familiar territory of biotech for number 5, PYPD. PolyPid LTD.
All right, PYPD. Price previous close, $3.27. Current price, $3.41. So a difference of only 14 cents per share.
Yeah, just 14 cents, which translates to a gain of only 4.28%. Now, this is really interesting, isn't it? We have significant volume here. It made the top 10 list based on volume, but the price barely budged compared to every other stock we've discussed so far.
That discrepancy is the key story for PYPD on this list, I think. The volume was 21,141,489 shares. The report estimates their average daily volume is usually between 500K and 1 million. So yeah, the unusual volume box is definitely checked, maybe 20 to 40 times average, but the price, almost flat on the day.
So PolyPid. The report describes them as a late clinical stage pharmaceutical company. Their specific niche is developing locally administered therapies aimed at preventing post-surgical site infections.
Okay, late clinical stage. That implies they're likely closer to potential commercialization than some of the earlier stage companies we've seen, like maybe KLTO or CTER. The report gives it a medium probability of going higher, suggests a medium to long-term hold. Again, dependent on clinical success, regulatory approval, getting a product to market. Still high risk, high reward, but perhaps with a somewhat clearer potential timeline for catalysts.
And the catalysts listed are the standard ones for a biotech at this stage. FDA approvals, results from phase 2 or phase 3 clinical trials, and partnership announcements.
Makes sense. Social buzz is noted on biotech forums and X, focusing on updates about their drug pipeline and the potential market size for their specific kind of therapy preventing surgical infections.
What about data transparency? Headquarters, PIDA Tikva, Israel, founded 2008, employees around 5,100. It's listed on NASDAQ. Shares outstanding around 35, 40 million, float around 30, 35 million, short float is 5-8%. And importantly, it does have analyst coverage with the target price range listed between $5 and $8.
Okay, so a similar level of date availability to CTXR and maybe S&PX, reflecting that NASDAQ listing. And the fact that there are analyst targets out there gives us some sense of where at least parts of the market see the potential value if things go according to plan.
And the financials. Negative EPS for the current period, $1, and projected negative for next year too, 91 cents is historically negative, but positive quarter over quarter change noted, 100%. And sales growth listed as 0% historically.
Right, that's the classic financial profile of a late stage clinical biotech, isn't it? Significant spending on those big, expensive late stage trials and regulatory preparations. No real commercial product revenue coming in yet. Maybe some one-time milestone payment or an accounting adjustment led to that positive Q over Q EPS blip, but fundamentally they're still burning cash to get to the finish line.
So the summary for PYPD. High volume, significant trading interest happening, but with only a relatively tiny percentage price increase compared to the other high volume stocks on our list today.
Yeah, that's the puzzle, isn't it? Why the big disconnect between the high volume and the modest price action? It can mean a few things. Maybe something happened that generated a lot of trading activity, perhaps a catalyst announcement that was ultimately viewed as less impactful than hoped, or maybe an update that led to a lot of churning back and forth trading without strong directional conviction.
Or maybe significant selling pressure met the buying interests.
That's possible too, buyers stepping in, but sellers also taking the opportunity to get out, keeping the price relatively stable despite the high turnover. Whatever the specific reason, the high volume itself flags that something unusual, something non-standard, was definitely going on with PYPD that day, even without the fireworks in the price chart.
Absolutely fascinating how that pattern can manifest so differently. Okay, moving on to number 6, UNCY, which is Unicycle Thailand Co. Ltd. This one sounds like a bit of a head-scratcher from the name alone.
And the report basically confirms that impression right away. It explicitly states that the specific business operations of Unicycle Thailand Co. Ltd. are, quote, not clearly defined in widely available public databases.
Okay, so that lack of clarity is the headline right from the start. The report kind of speculates, says it appears to be a smaller niche company, maybe involved in bicycles, transportation, or perhaps leisure activities based in Thailand, but it's guesswork.
Very vague. Let's look at the numbers it does provide, though. Previous close, 7544 place, current price 87,4416, so a difference about 19 cents.
Which is a gain of over 25%. A decent percentage move for a single day, especially for something so obscure.
Yeah, not bad. Volume, 19,655,596 shares.
Yeah.
Now, the report notes their average daily volume is likely very low and probably highly variable day to day. So this level of volume, nearly 20 million shares, is almost certainly exceptionally high for a likely microcap with such limited public information. Maybe similar to KLTO in terms of the ratio of the volume spike compared to average, even if the absolute number is much lower.
And the assessment reflects the mystery. Probability of going higher, low to medium, highly speculative, suggested hold, short term. And the why basically says, look, volatility is common for these smaller, less known companies, and the risk is high precisely because there's so little publicly verifiable information to go on.
Makes perfect sense. The catalysts mentioned are necessarily broad and likely very niche. Specific company announcements, which might never even hit major news wires outside Thailand, local market trends within Thailand, or industry-specific news relevant to whatever their actual undefined business might be.
And the report stresses these potential drivers are probably really hard for outside investors to track without doing some serious, dedicated digging into the Thai market or that specific niche sector.
Right. Social media buzz. The report says very limited or maybe no significant rumors found on English platforms. Again, that suggests whatever activity is happening might be driven by local factors or circulating within very specific, perhaps private investment circles.
And the data gaps. They're extreme. Mirrors KLTO, maybe even more pronounced. Headquarters, Thailand. Year founded, NA. Employees, likely small. Exchange, OTC markets. Shares, outstanding float, NA. Target price. No analyst coverage. All EPS sales data. NA.
Total black box territory.
Confirms it's a highly obscure microcap. And the report's note about this being typical for such companies on the OTC markets is Key low transparency isn't an anomaly here, it's the norm.
Yeah, this one is arguably the most intriguing stock on the list purely from a mystery standpoint. You've got significant volume, a notable percentage jump for a company whose actual business is unclear and for which almost no standard public data exists. The unusual activity here isn't easily tied to a clear, understandable catalyst like a biotech announcement or an earnings report. It strongly suggests the move is driven by something very specific, maybe local news we can't see, or perhaps just pure, unfounded speculation churning on the OTC markets, amplified by that very lack of information.
UNCY is definitely the enigma of the day. Significant action, minimal public context. Okay, moving to number 7, GPRO, GOPRO-INCA. Now, this is a name most people listening will definitely recognize.
Yeah, a familiar brand popping up on a list of unusual trading activity always makes you pause and wonder what's up. Okay, GPRO. Price, previous close, 0.7932 cents. Current price, 0.8906. That's a difference of just under 10 cents.
Zisho 974 Caria, which is a gain of over 12%. Now, that's a relatively modest percentage gain compared to some of the wild movers we saw earlier, but still a solid move up. And especially notable, as the report points out, is that the price here is below $1 per share in this snapshot.
Right. The sub-dollar mark often attracts attention itself. The volume, 13,595,896 shares. Their average daily volume is estimated around 3 to 5 million. Shares. So significantly higher volume than average, definitely enough to flag it as unusual, indicating increased trader interest, maybe 3 or 4 times average.
And GoPro, of course, we know them, technology company, famous for action cameras, but also enriched in drones, accessories, operating in that consumer electronics and content creation space.
The report rates the probability of going higher as medium. Suggested hold is medium term, maybe 3-12 months, often tied to their product cycles, or potentially long term if they manage to successfully diversify their business model beyond just cameras.
Yeah, their performance really hinges on innovation, right? Bringing out compelling new products, getting consumers to adopt them, and navigating a pretty competitive landscape. The hardware market's tough, often reliant on those refresh cycles.
Absolutely. And the catalysts listed reflect that reality. New product launches historically a huge driver for GoPro's stock. Quarterly earnings reports, obviously, revealing their financial health. Growth in their subscription services, that's key, as they try to build more recurring revenue. And shifts in the competitive landscape. Any news on these fronts could easily generate that unusual trading volume.
And the social media buzz. Much more prominent and accessible here compared to those obscure biotechs or UNCY. The report notes discussions on platforms like X, Reddit, tech forums, focusing on potential new camera features, their grown tech, their financials. It's a consumer brand. People talk about it.
Makes sense. And here, we see a wealth of data availability again, a stark contrast to the microcaps. Headquarters, San Mateo, California, founded 2002, employees around 800 to 1,000, exchange, NASDAQ, shares outstanding around 150, 160 million, float around 140, 150 million. Short float is estimated at 10, 15%.
And significantly, the report provides specific off-exchange short volume data for GoPro. It lists 446,140 shares traded short off-exchange with an off-exchange short volume ratio of 46.85%. This kind of detailed trading data wasn't available or reported for most of the others on this list, especially the OTC ones.
Right. What does that off-exchange short volume data actually tell us, or why might traders care about it?
Good question. It basically indicates how much of the total trading volume is happening off exchange, typically in dark pools or through broker internalizers, away from the public lit exchanges, and then what percentage of that specific off exchange volume represents short selling. Now, a high off exchange short volume ratio, like that 46.85%, can sometimes be interpreted by certain types of traders as a potential sign that significant short interest is accumulating, maybe quietly, off the main exchanges. In certain situations, like if unexpected good news hits or buying volume surges, that hidden short interest could theoretically contribute to a short squeeze if those shorts are forced to cover.
I see. So it's another data point that sophisticated traders might monitor for potential market dynamics.
Exactly. The report just presents the number here. It doesn't interpret it, but it's the kind of information that becomes available for more transparent, heavily traded NASDAQ stocks like GoPro, unlike the microcaps. It adds another layer of potential insight.
Got it. What about the financials provided for GoPro?
It's a mixed picture. EPS for the current period is negative, $0.05, but it's projected to be positive next year at $0.35. Historically, negative EPS overall, but positive quarter over quarter change, 100%. Sales data shows negative growth over the past 5 years and also negative year over year, but positive quarter over quarter.
Okay, so that really reflects the challenges GoPro has faced, doesn't it? Trying to find consistent growth in a tough competitive market. Negative sales over longer periods show those struggles. But the positive Q over Q numbers for both EPS and sales, plus that projection for profitability next year, might suggest they're starting to navigate those challenges better, maybe benefiting from newer initiatives like their subscription service. It looks like a company in transition, trying hard to find sustainable growth beyond just selling hardware units.
So, GPRO summary. Unusual volume for a very familiar brand, accompanied by a relatively modest price increase compared to the really extreme movers on the list.
Yeah, the elevated volume on June 9th could be linked to anticipation around a new product, maybe upcoming earnings expectations, or just a general shift in sentiment about their business strategy or potential turnaround, especially with the stock trading under $1 and analysts apparently having higher price targets. And the availability of that more detailed trading data, like the off-exchange short volume, is a notable difference compared to most of the microcaps we've looked at.
Okay, we're heading towards the end of the list now. Number 8, CTOR, which is Citius Oncology INC. Back to biotech, and as you pointed out earlier, that name, Citius Oncology, sounds awfully similar to Citius Pharmaceutical CTXR, which was number 2.
Right, I noticed that too, and the report explicitly flags it. It mentions the possibility that Citius Oncology Inc. could be a spinoff or maybe a subsidiary of Citius Pharmaceutical CTXR, just based on that very similar naming convention, which adds a potentially interesting family tree dynamic to consider.
Definitely. Okay, numbers for CTOR. Previous close, pretense 7932,000s. Current price, $1.16. That's a difference of about 37 cents.
0.3668 cents, yeah. A gain of over 46%. So a strong percentage gain, putting it roughly in the same ballpark as S&PX and SOGP in terms of daily move.
Volume, 12,205,753 shares. Average daily volume is likely lower, so again, significantly elevated volume triggering its inclusion here.
And as the name strongly implies, it's a biotech focused on novel oncology treatment cancer therapies.
Probability assessment.
High risk, high reward. Long-term hold for breakthrough potential, short-term for catalyst plays. And the report highlights the critical factor. Success depends heavily on early-stage clinical data and how well they progress through those initial trials.
That distinction feels important. When we talked about CTXR and PYPD, the report mentioned phase 2 and phase 3 trials, but for CTAR, the focus on early-stage clinical data suggests its pipeline is much earlier in the development process.
Exactly, and the catalysts listed confirm that early-stage focus. Results from preclinical studies or very early phase 1 trials, regulatory designations that can help speed up development for promising early candidates, like orphan drug status, and strategic partnerships, which are absolutely vital for funding and expertise when you're at this very early high-risk stage. Positive early data, even though it's highly speculative and miles away from guaranteeing eventual success, can cause huge price swings in these small oncology biotechs.
Makes sense. Social buzz likely very limited again, right? Highly specialized, probably confined to dedicated oncology biotech forums or specific corners of X.
Very likely. Similar to the other really early stage biotechs. And the data gaps. Substantial. Looks very similar to KLTO and UNCY, headquarters.na. Year founded. Relatively recent, the report guesses maybe the 2020s, based on the early stage. Employees. Likely small. Exchange. OTC markets. Shares outstanding FLOGO. RNA. Target price. No analyst coverage. All EPS sales data, NA clearly pre-revenue.
Okay, so this reinforces the picture of CTOR as a very early stage pre-revenue company. The lack of public data is typical for companies like this, especially in the OTC markets, making them inherently highly speculative investments.
Yep. So CTOR summary, significant volume, significant price movement happening for a very early stage oncology biotech, almost certainly a microcap.
And the unusual activity is almost certainly tied to some promising, but still very preliminary, early data readouts or news related to their cancer therapies. This carries immense risk. We know most early drug candidates ultimately fail, but that potential for a massive reward if they do succeed is what drives the high-risk speculation we're seeing reflected in the volume and price action here.
And that potential connection to Citius Pharmaceuticals, CTXR, is an intriguing detail from the report. It suggests that while it's early stage and lacks data, it might not be a completely unknown entity, but perhaps part of a larger, more established biopharma effort, which could add a layer of perceived credibility for some investors.
An interesting wrinkle indeed. Okay, moving on to number 9, UMAC. Unusual Machines INC.
Huh. The name almost feels tailor-made for this list, doesn't it? Unusual Machines showing unusual activity.
It really does. Okay, UMX, price previous close, $7.42, current price, $9.35. That's a difference of $1.93.
Which is a gain of over 26%. A solid percentage gain, definitely. And notably at a higher absolute price point than most of the other stocks on this list, maybe except for PYPD before its small move.
Right. Volume. 10,699,376 shares. Approximate average daily volume is estimated at 500K to 1 million. But the report adds a note that it's highly variable for this type of company. Still, clearly significantly higher volume than normal to make the list.
In the company description. An emerging drone technology company. Fits into the broader tech sector, maybe touching aerospace and defense as well. The report notes that their specific focus areas or applications would need deeper research, but the core business is clearly drones.
Probability assessment.
High risk, high reward. Short-term potential for speculative gains, maybe longer-term if they manage to carve out a clear niche or land major contracts. And the why highlights that volatility common in emerging tech. Success depends on their product development roadmap, market adoption versus competitors, and securing significant business wins.
What catalysts are listed for a drone tech company like this?
Things like new product announcements, always key for tech. Winning contracts that would be huge for a drone company, especially potentially large ones in defense or commercial sectors like delivery or surveillance. Regulatory changes impacting drone usage are also critical in this rapidly evolving space. And like many emerging tech firms, funding rounds would be significant news.
Okay, so the volume spike likely points to market excitement or speculation around one of those potential milestones.
Makes sense. Social media buzz is likely highly speculative, the report suggests, probably happening on platforms like X and various penny stock forums, often fueled by hopes of disruptive technology or those game-changing contract wins. Social media can definitely play a big role in driving interest and maybe volatility in speculative emerging tech names like this.
Data availability. Headquarters. Not widely publicized. Report guesses maybe Delaware or a tech hub like California. Year founded, relatively recent, likely 2010s or 2020s. Employees, likely small. Exchange, NASDAQ. Shares outstanding float are listed as being in the low tens of millions.
For smaller share count, potentially.
And similar to GoPro, the report provides off-exchange short volume data for UMS, 172,137 shares, with a notably high off-exchange short volume ratio of 54.60%.
Wow, even higher than GoPro's ratio. Again, that's specific trading data available because it's on NASDAQ, unlike the OTC stocks. And that high ratio might be something certain traders are watching closely, perhaps looking for short squeeze potential. Although, again, the report just presents the data point without interpretation.
Right. Financials. Negative EPS for the current period. Border oven 49 cents and projected negative for next year too. The dollars and 45. Historically negative but positive. Quarter over quarter change. 100%. Now look at the sales data. Negative year over year sales growth at negative 100%. But positive quarter over quarter 100%.
Whoa. Minus 100% year over year sales growth is pretty striking. What could that mean? As the report suggests, it could indicate they're essentially pre-revenue from their main current business model. Maybe they wound down an older product line completely, or perhaps they only very recently started generating any reportable revenue at all. Combined with the negative EPS, it clearly paints UMC as an emerging, likely pre-commercialization company where future potential, not current financial performance, is driving the investor interest and speculation.
Okay, so UMC summary. Significant volume and a solid percentage gain for an emerging drone technology company.
Yeah, the unusual activity here is most likely driven by speculation around their product development pipeline, the potential for winning contracts in the growing drone sector, which has applications everywhere from defense to delivery to agriculture, or maybe news about funding. It looks like a classic high-risk, high-reward play in a dynamic and potentially transformative technology space, and that high off-exchange short ratio adds another layer of intrigue for traders.
And finally, number 10 on our list for June 9th, 2025, AREC, American Recycling Technologies, AIS.
Okay, shifting gears completely again. Away from tech and biotech, potentially into a more industrial or environmental sector, AREC.
Yeah.
Price, previous close, 0.6555. Current price, 0.8385. That's a difference of about 18 cents.
0.1835, yeah. A gain of over 28%. So another solid percentage gain for the day. And like GPRO and CTR earlier, the price here is below $1 in this snapshot.
Right. Volume, 8,987,889 shares. Average daily volume is likely lower. So this elevated volume, nearly 9 million shares, is what earned it the final spot on this top 10 list.
And the company description. The report suggests involvement in waste management, recycling services, or maybe related renewable energy technology. This puts it in a sector that's often influenced by things like infrastructure spending, environmental policies, and commodity prices.
Very different drivers than biotech or consumer tech. Probability of going higher is rated medium. Suggested hold is medium term, looking for growth potential. And the why reflects the sector. Success depends on market demand for recycled materials, which can fluctuate quite a bit. Regulations impacting the waste management and recycling industry, and specific company projects like winning new contracts or expanding their facilities.
Makes sense. Success here feels more tied to industrial cycles, maybe government initiatives, and just solid operational execution.
Exactly. And the catalysts listed reflect that. Contract awards securing big deals for waste processing or supplying recycled materials would be huge. New facility developments or expansions, changes in regulations related to waste disposal or environmental standards, and the fluctuating commodity prices for the actual materials they might recycle, like metals, paper, or plastics.
So the volume spike suggests the market's attention on June 9th was focused on one of those specific sector-relevant drivers for ARE.
Seems likely. Social buzz is probably limited in focus, the report suggests. Maybe on environmental industry forums or waste management trade discussions rather than broad retail investor platforms.
And the data gaps. Looks familiar again, similar to the other microcaps on the list. Headquarters, not widely disclosed, likely USA. Year founded on NA. Employees, likely small. Exchange, OTC markets. Shares, outstanding float.NA. Target price, no analyst coverage. All EPS sales data. In.
Right. So this again points towards limited public information. It suggests the trading activity might be more speculative, perhaps driven by very specific, hard to verify information circulating within niche industry or investor circles, or maybe just momentum trading taking hold on the OTC markets.
Okay. AREC summary. Significant volume and a decent price move in the recycling waste management sector.
Yeah, the unusual activity likely relates to some company-specific news, maybe a new contract announcement, a project development update, or perhaps broader shifts in the regulatory landscape or commodity prices that particularly impact their niche. Its listing on the OTC markets and that familiar lack of widely available data mean it shares those speculative characteristics we saw with other microcaps on this list, even if the underlying business sector itself feels a bit less futuristic than, say, biotech or drones.
And that wraps up our walk through the top 10 stocks showing unusual trading activity on June 9th, 2025, according to this report.
Wow, it's been quite a tour, hasn't it? We've seen everything from those absolutely jaw-dropping multi-100% biotech surges on truly astronomical volume.
Right, down to more modest but still significant moves in familiar tech names like GoPro.
And those mysterious spikes in obscure microcaps like UNCY, where we barely know what they do.
The undeniable common thread, though, across all 10, despite how vastly different their sectors and stages are, is that volume, that sudden, intense surge of trading activity. It clearly indicates that for whatever reason, these specific companies were suddenly, sharply in the market spotlight on that particular day.
Absolutely. And the report helps us see how the nature of that unusual activity often seems to correlate with the company's profile, doesn't it? For the biotechs, it's almost always tied to those binary clinical or regulatory events, high-stakes, make-or-break moments.
Yeah, for emerging tech like the drone company UMAC, it seems more about product launches or potential big contract wins. For others, like the recycling company ARC, maybe it's regulatory shifts or macro factors hitting their specific niche.
And for those microcaps, especially the ones on the OTC markets like KLTO or UNCY or CTR, that lack of transparency and the potential for really small floats can just dramatically magnify the effects of even limited information or pure speculation.
Definitely. And the range in the price changes was huge, too. From KLTO's plus 680% down to PYPD's plus 4%, all qualifying based on unusual volume. It really highlights how the impact of whatever catalyst was in play, or maybe just the level of speculative frenzy surrounding it, can vary wildly.
It does. This list gives us such a fascinating snapshot, doesn't it? A real glimpse into where the market's energy and attention just spontaneously flared up on that one day, June 9th. It highlights stocks that were undergoing potentially significant shifts, whether those shifts were driven by real fundamental progress, highly anticipated news, or maybe just intense speculation.
And as the report provides the crucial context, the sector they're in, the typical catalyst, the level of data transparency or the lack thereof, we can start to try and interpret the meaning behind that raw volume signal. Is this a reaction to solid, verifiable news from a well-covered company? Or is it just hype building around a distant possibility for some opaque microcap? That context helps you, the listener, understand the potential risks and rewards involved.
Exactly. Volume tells you that something is happening. All the surrounding information helps you start to figure out what might be driving it and what the associated risks and potentials might actually look like.
It's a real window into the market's focus, its attention span, and often, yeah, its speculative impulses.
Definitely captures that side of the market well.
Well, we've certainly taken a deep dive into a single day of unusual market activity. We've seen how volume can signal everything from potential breakthroughs in really cutting-edge science to pure speculation in mysterious, obscure companies.
And we've seen how the transparency, or lack thereof, and the structure of the market a company trades on NASDAQ versus OTC dramatically impacts the kind of information that's even available to help interpret that activity.
We've seen just how much volume and price can move on days like this based on catalysts, speculation, and sometimes, as we saw repeatedly, very, very limited public information, particularly in that microcap space.
Yeah, and this whole journey through the list, it really raises an important question for you, the listener, to think about. Looking at the sheer diversity of these companies and the intensity of the activity we discussed, what does this snapshot from June 9th, 2025, really tell you about the psychology that drives certain parts of the market? How does it highlight that constant challenge of trying to distinguish between market signals driven by solid, verifiable developments versus signals driven purely by hype or momentum or maybe just speculation, especially when reliable information is scarce?
That's a great point. And maybe building on that, if you were to encounter opportunities that seem to arise from this kind of unusual activity, knowing the context now, knowing the potential risks and the data gaps we've talked about, how would you approach them? What would your mental checklist be for evaluating whether that signal indicates a genuine shift in fundamentals or just a temporary wave of speculation?
It's a dynamic that's always playing out in the market, isn't it? And trying to understand it, trying to navigate those waves of interest and speculation is key. Definitely something to mull over.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for joining us for this deep dive into the unusual trading activity of June 9, 2025.